It's Thursday, the 17th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to no one. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Tom Wills. My name is Josh Lloyd. If you want to be like Tom Wills, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope it could be Thom Wills. I'm going to guess it's Tom. If you want to be like Tom Wills and be a sponsor of the podcast for a day and join about the 10 people who left reviews on iTunes yesterday, which is massive. Thank you very much to all those people. That's all you need to do. Leave a review on iTunes. I got myself over that 300 mark, which is superb. And if just five people who listen to the podcast left a review each day, the podcast would jump so high in the iTunes rankings. It would be phenomenal. So thank you for everybody who has done that so far. Also, make sure you're checking out moneyball.com.au, Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site. It's the only one we've got, so we've got to play it. But that's not to say they don't do a great job, because they do. There's lots of GPPs, double ups, head to heads on Moneyball. You can even find me on there and take me on in some contests as well. And make sure you get yourself in, listen to this podcast, and hopefully make some money. Okay, there was games in the NBA. There was coaching negligence in the NBA. There's a lot to talk about from the NBA.
Let's get to it.
I will. The monstrous line of the night. We had a lot of contenders here. It took, though, until the last game of the night for me to give out this award, and I'm going with Klay Thompson. He played 31 minutes only. He had 43 big ones, had 8 triples, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, went 15 of 22 from the field, hit all 5 of his free throws. He was 8 of 13 from 3. That's phenomenal, obviously. Just the one turnover, and basically he sat out the entire last quarter. He could have easily dropped a 50 on the Phoenix Suns. He was on fire. He had a 20-plus quarter again. The amount of 20-plus quarters we've seen from guys this year, not just Warriors players, but mainly Warriors players, has been out of control. Klay Thompson, we talked about a lot about his struggles earlier in the season. They're pretty much done. That ankle injury slowed him down for one game, the loss against the Bucks. But before that, he was firing. After that, clearly, he's firing here. He was a great daily fantasy play, so hopefully you used him in your lineups. But otherwise, just the form that Klay Thompson is in at the moment is incredible. He's averaging 5.8 threes across his last 5 games. It's a lot of threes. 28 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And I think one of the big keys to Klay's value is the fact that he's chipping with 0.8 blocks as well. That's big from a shooting guard. And then, of course, you know, on the season, 47% from the field and 85% from the line is also pretty ridiculous, as is 45% from three. So he's shooting a better percentage from three this year than he was last year. Klay Thompson has shot over 40% from three every season he's been in the NBA. That's how good of a shooter this guy is. He's probably the second best shooter in the NBA behind his teammate, Steph Curry. He's putting up crazy numbers. That buy low window is clearly closed, very, very comfortably closed. But you know, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, you could have got him for a player ranked 50th because he was outside the top 50. I kept saying, I don't think he's going to become the guy who was ranked or drafted anywhere between pick 11 and pick 15. I didn't think he'd get back to that. He's the fourth ranked player over the last 2 weeks. I don't think he's at that level, but by the end of the season, could we see him inside the top 20? A massive chance of that. I thought he'd probably stabilize between 20 and 30. I still think that's sort of where he'll end, but otherwise, Klay Thompson has been, it just shows how much that bad back was bothering him at the start of the season. It's loosened up. He's loosened up. All systems go. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Courtney Lee of the Memphis Grizzlies. He played 37 minutes, 18 points with 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and he was very efficient, 8 of 11. We've seen Courtney Lee do this before, though, so that's what I'm worried about. He can have big games when he gets hot with his efficiency, and he is red hot at the moment. He's shooting 56% across his last 4 games for 13.5 points, 2 threes, 1.5 steals, 3.3 rebounds, 2.3 assists. He's really red hot there, and he's a super free throw shooter. He's at 93% on the season, hasn't missed a free throw in the last 2 weeks. He's also benefiting from extra minutes with the Tony Allen injury. Now, when Allen comes back, Allen's probably not going to re-enter the starting lineup. Or if he does, I don't think he's going to start playing 25 minutes. But it's going to impact Courtney Lee to some degree. He's going to lose some playing time. I don't think he's going to be getting 35 minutes a night. Do you go and add Courtney Lee? Maybe. He's not a must-add guy to me. I think that you can have, in a 14-team league, of course, it's a no-brainer. In a 12-team league, it depends on who you're dropping. I imagine his value will drop down a little bit when Allen comes back, but he's been really good, and he does have stretches with this. Basically, every season, you'll get 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks of Courtney Lee, and that could be enough to add him in a 12-team league, and then you just move on after that. But to think that it's going to continue for massive stretches of time, I don't think that's going to be the case. But he is playing very well. The Grizzlies are starting to look marginally better at times, but still not their best. Their situation, their rotation is still in flux. So Lee could go back to getting 25 minutes or 26 minutes when Tony Allen returns, and that's going to sap a lot of his value. So yes, if you've got a streaming spot, you can look to add him, but I imagine Tony Allen almost played in this game. They announced before the game that Allen would play, and then they said, oh, sorry, my mistake, he's not playing. It shows you how close he is to returning, so I don't think that Lee's going to maintain massive amounts of value moving forward. But with the way he's played, does he demand more playing time? Don't know. It remains to be seen. Also, the 7 rebounds and 6 assists he had here, it's a season-high rebounds, and it ties a season-high for assists. So I don't think that sort of thing is going to continue to happen all that often. So just, you can add him, definitely, but not going out there and blowing massive wads of my budget on grabbing Courtney Lee. The young gun of the night, this guy's had it quite a few times this season, Kristaps Porzingis. He played 29 minutes, 11 points, 6 rebounds. He hit a 3. He had 3 assists, but he had 7 blocks. That's the key. I think he had 6 blocks in the first half. The efficiency definitely wasn't there. He was only 4 of 14 from the field, and that's dropped off after a really, really significant hot streak with the shooting. He's down at 44% across the last 7 games, 26% across his last 3, but he's still maintaining value by blocking a massive amount of shots, hitting 3s, the scoring has been pretty good, and the free throw percentage has been awesome. So his value has dropped off, but it doesn't mean he's a guy to drop or anything like that. And some of the games that his minutes have dropped off, or his minutes have been lower, have been games where he's had that foul trouble issue, and Derek Fisher's gone, nah, we're not gonna run you out there and run that risk of you fouling out for whatever reason it is, or it's a case of Derek Fisher being useless. In 2 of his last 4 games, Porzingis has played less than 20 games, less than 20 minutes, and they were both foul trouble, sort of, or early foul trouble games. And once he gets early foul trouble, Fisher just goes, nah, we're good. We'll go with someone else. Even though he finished those games with just 2 fouls and 3 fouls. It was early foul trouble that kept him out of the contest and then couldn't really get things going. Look, the shot will probably return. But look, the last 4 games, he's been under 40% from the field. The previous 5 games, he was over 60%. Over 50% from the field. It's going to stabilize somewhere to be 45. He's going to get hot. He's going to get cold. But if he keeps contributing in the steals, the blocks, the threes, and grabbing rebounds, then his value will hold relatively steady without killing you. And he's definitely not a guy that we're relying upon for big field goal percentage. That's not the appeal of Kristaps Porzingis at this point of his career. It might not be the appeal for that at any point in his career. We just have to wait and see how he transitions, or how his field goal percentage increases across the years. The dud of the night. You know, when I give duds of the night, I only give them to guys who are highly owned, so owned in pretty much every standard league. So that eliminates some players like Kelly Olynyk, who is still available in quite a few. But his teammate Avery Bradley is owned in 80% of leagues. That's high enough for me. He played 38 minutes and scored 5 points. Not a good night from Bradley. 1-3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. He's definitely been in career best form until this sort of performance. But averaging over 2.5 threes a game, nice scoring, big steals, up at 1.5 steals a game. The value is still there from him, but it's rooted in steals, threes, points, and free throw percentage. You're not going to get rebounds or assists from him. You're not going to get 20-point average scoring or anything like that. You're going to get, it's a lot of threes. You're going to get good steals, you're going to get a good free throw percentage. That's where Avery Bradley's value comes from. And it's enough for him to be a top 75 player this year. I'm not relatively confident, but I'm optimistic that he could become a top 75 player this year. He's looked better than he's ever looked throughout his career, and that's what happens to these young players. He's heading into his, I think it's his fifth or sixth season. Does that sound about right? Yeah, drafted in 2010. So he's growing, and it's great to see for the Celtics. But today was not a good day from Bradley, but it doesn't mean anything in terms of what we do fantasy basketball wise. We don't go and drop Avery Bradley after today's game, unless you're in, say, maybe an 8-team league. But even then, that I wouldn't be heading in that direction. Okay, that is all the daily awards. Let's now get into these box scores. There were 12 games, so we've got a lot to cover, clearly. Let's do it. The first game is the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic. The Magic with a big victory there. They are closing in on the Hornets for the division lead, and what an odd sentence that is, that the Hornets and the Magic are battling for the division lead. Nick Batum lasted just 20 minutes before succumbing to illness. He was questionable heading in. He played, but obviously couldn't play it all out. He was looking all right as well. 2 threes for 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Obviously, that his absence meant there was going to be more minutes for the other wing. So PJ Harrison played 22 minutes. He had 14 points with 3 threes. That's his best performance of the season. Not trusting him. Jeremy Lamb got things going again with a hot shooting night. 7 of 10, 16, 5, and 4. And you love the 4 steals there. But this was the first time in the last 2 or 3 games that he's actually played over 20 minutes. So it is still hard to hold on to. It's hard to drop him, but it's also not a must-own situation for him in a 12-team league, just given with the way his minutes have been reduced. Now, if Batum has to miss any time, then Lamb obviously gets a bump there. Jeremy Lin played another 29 minutes, 8 points and 4 assists, so not a great night from him, but you're still okay with the 4 assists. He's a borderline 12-team league guy for me. And Marvin Williams is starting to regress to basically who he was. 6 points for 2 threes, 5 rebounds and 3 blocks. So there's still some value there, but he was only 2 of 7 shooting. He's not that red-hot guy we saw at the start of the season, and that's fine because that's not who he is. Cody Zeller played 23 minutes, 11 points, 2 rebounds. The 3 steals really helped buoy his value, but I don't like the fact that he played 23 minutes and Frank Kaminsky played 26 and Spencer Hawes played 18. I just want Zeller to get more minutes. That said, he's still a viable back-end 12-team league guy, at least for the next 4 Hornets games. Al Jefferson is cleared, ready for action, but now he's got to serve his 5-game suspension. He served 1 of them today. He's got 4 more to go. Kemba Walker struggled a little here as well, 12, 4, and 9 with a steal. On to the Orlando Magic, and this is something that we're seeing as a trend. When the Magic get up and when they win comfortably, the minutes get reduced. And it's very hard to know that from daily fantasy point of view, especially. Like, Nick Vucevic played just 27 minutes, but if this game was close, he would have played 33. He's still good, though, 14, 8, and 4, but it's not his ceiling, because he can go higher than that. It's also interesting to see what's happening with Channing Frye here. Another big game from him, 30 minutes. That's 2 big games in a row. 17 points, 5 threes, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals. If you're in a deeper league, a 14-team league, the minutes trending up, the production trending up, I'm looking at Channing Frye for that big man who can hit some threes and get some scoring. I don't think I'm looking at it in a shallower format. But in those deeper leagues, you definitely have to look at Channing Frye. Evan Fournier played 24 minutes, 15, 3, and 3 with 3 triples. Toby Harris, 13, and 5 with 2 steals in his 23 minutes. And Victor Oladipo played 25 off the bench and went 11, 4, and 4 with a steal and a 3. So they're all pretty decent lines, but the minutes just cap what they're able to do. And it's been pretty consistent over the last couple of weeks that Skiles will run his best players 30-plus minutes when the game's close. If not, it's open slather. Everyone just get out there and do something. Lord Alfred Payton, a 30-minute night for him, which is good. 12 points, 9 assists, and 1 steal. He's been much, much improved over probably the last month. And Aaron Gordon got 25 minutes off the bench, going 6-7 with a couple of steals. But he's still out of standard league consideration. The next game is the Dallas Mavericks and the Indiana Pacers. All right, so Ray Felton, 32 minutes again for Ray. 16 points, 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He's just getting minutes, and I don't know why. I don't know what is going on with this team. everything is playing into his favor. Devin Harris suffered a hamstring strain here and got just 6 minutes. Now, they said that Devin Harris's hamstring issue is not serious, but it could keep him out a couple of games. So we're just going to keep seeing more Ray Felton. In a 12-team league, there are hundreds of worse pickups than Ray Felton. He's probably a guy that needs to be owned by some team. It doesn't necessarily have to be your team, but he probably should be owned somewhere. Dirk Nowitzki went 13-7 in his 26 minutes. Now, we had the return of JaVale McGee getting 7 boards in his 11 minutes, but obviously that's a deep league thing. He's not playing very often at all. Darren Williams struggled. 6 assists, though, still nice with 8 points. And Chandler Parsons, after a nice game in his last outing, didn't do so much here. 7-4 in 29 minutes, but again, the minutes are right up there at 29. He's definitely ramping it up. We're a couple of weeks away from seeing full-blown Chandler Parsons. Zaza Pachulia only had 5 points, 2 of 8 shooting in his 26 minutes, but he supplemented that with 14 rebounds, so still getting it done there. And Wes Matthews had an issue with his shoulder, still played 29 minutes, but 2 of 10 shooting for 4 points, a steal, and a block. Not a great night from Wesy Wes. Onto the Indiana Pacers, Paul George was battling that illness. He looked okay, but his shot is definitely off these last couple of weeks. 19-7, 2 threes, a steal, and a block in 32 minutes, so he was able to rest those extra couple of minutes because the game was in hand pretty easily. CJ Miles moved to the bench while Lavoie Allen started. Not really sure I understand the Lavoie Allen starting situation against the Mavericks. It's not like Dirk is a big bang down low, post up sort of guy. Yes, he's 7 foot, but I don't know if I class him as a huge guy that Paul George couldn't handle. Hey, what do I know? I'm not an NBA coach. Regardless, CJ Miles played off the bench and played 29 minutes, which is basically what he's doing as a starter anyway. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 threes and a steal. He's been superb this season. Monte Ellis was also really good here, 19-2-3. And you got a real Monte bonus here, hitting 3 triples with 2 steals. Rod Stuckey got 26 minutes off the bench, 12 points and 7 assists with a couple of steals. He's just, I don't know. There's intrigue with Stuckey, but you're going to invariably get let down. I don't think that he's worth looking at and owning permanently in 12-team leagues. George Hill, just 11 points, 3 assists and 2 steals. Still in a massive, massive slump at the moment. I'm not dropping him, but I'm looking if I can acquire him for a very cheap price. Jan Mahinmi played 22 minutes here, 5 points, 10 rebounds and 3 assists. So the minutes have been a little bit troubling for him lately. You're still happy getting 10 rebounds, but Jordan Hill getting 23 minutes here. Allen getting the 18 minutes. Mahinmi is not able to get those big numbers happening at the moment. Not that he was getting massive numbers before, but you'd like a couple of blocks out of him. You'd like him to play 27 minutes. That would be really good. So if he fits your build, I'm still holding on to him, but it's been a little bit of a rough stretch for him at the present time. The next game up is the Boston Celtics and the Detroit Pistons. Isaiah Thomas had a career-high 38 points in 38 minutes, 3 threes and 7 assists, so a big, big night from him. Jay Crowder, 9-7, and Jared Sullinger bounced back after a really poor game, going 17-10 with a 3 in 27 minutes. Kelly Olynyk struggled. He only played 16 minutes, so that's not ideal. 0 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. We know his potential is way up there. There are going to be streaky nights from him, no doubt. You know what I'm going to say. You know that I just want him to play minutes. I just want him to be out there. It's going to be hard for that to happen with Stevens as the coach. So if there is someone you desperately want to get in a 10-team league, definitely. I don't think you can hold Olynyk given his role. In a 12-team league, I'd probably be a bit more forgiving and I'd be much keener holding onto him. Amir Johnson had a triple one with 11 points in 21 minutes. He's not a 12-team league guy for me. And Jonas Jerebko hit 3 threes for 9 points in 16 minutes. We also saw a Tyler Zeller sighting getting 10 minutes off the bench here, and David Lee played 8 minutes, which is something that definitely suits me perfectly. Onto the Detroit Pistons, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. This guy is on a serious hot streak. 31 points for Caldwell-Pope, 3 triples, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block on 10 of 16 shooting, hit all 8 of his free throws. He's averaging over 40 minutes a game in the last week. 20 points, 2.3 threes, almost 4 assists, 2.3 steals on 46% shooting. He's clearly a must-own player. There are going to be leagues where he's not owned. I know that, but he is a must-own player. But he is going to drop off. He is going to have nights where he shoots 35%. And that's going to impact him. But Stan Van Gundy has shown over 2 seasons that he trusts him. He wants him to throw up shots. He wants him to play big minutes. and his defense is definitely coming along. He's a guy, one of those players who has been, this guy's a good defender, this guy's a good defender, but it's not showing up in steals. Well, this season, it is. He's at 1.7 steals on the season. He's at 2.4 steals over the last 2 weeks. And from a guy who averaged 0.9 and 1.1 across his first two seasons, the steals are starting to show up, and that's really helping to buoy his fantasy value, as is the fact that he's taken his free throw percentage up from 70 to 83. There could be some regression in store there, but he is shooting the ball a lot better, definitely from the free throw line, and he's a guy that, yeah, he looks really good. He's a guy that I really, really like, Caldwell Pope, and I'm happy to see what he's doing for this team. So I think he can be a really key piece. He's one of those, you know, 3-and-D guys who might develop into a secondary ball handler, maybe not, but I think there is some potential for that to happen. Reggie Jackson played just 28 minutes here. Still had 23 points. 3 assists is not all that great, but not a terrible night. Marcus Morris, 11 points in 33 minutes. 1 rebound. What? Two assists and a steal, so not the greatest all-round night from him. Andre Drummond went 16 and 12 with 2 steals. Yeah, he hit a 3. Yeah. Big Drummo. Don't expect that to happen all that often, considering he went 3 of 10 from the free throw line and then and nailed a 3. Not all that likely that's going to continue. And good to see Ersan Ilyasova playing 31 minutes. 11 and 5 for Ersan. 2 triples, 2 blocks, and a steal. Really that guy that everyone loves to hate, but he's so intriguing. His fantasy value is so there. His last week, he's giving you 13 and 5 with 2 threes, a steal, 1.5 blocks, and 48% shooting. That's very, very useful. If you're in anything deeper than a 12-team league, he's a must-own. And even in a 12-team league, the minutes trending up. Van Gundy said earlier in the season, we're limiting his minutes due to Eurobasket play. And maybe that was true. Maybe they're easing him back in now and going to give him 27 minutes moving forward. There's going to be nights where he's going to get destroyed defensively, and Tolliver will play more minutes and Baines will play more minutes, and that's fine. But I think that we're going to see more of him playing 28 minutes on the good nights and then playing 22 on the bad nights, as opposed to, say, 24 on the good nights and 18 on the bad nights. I think we're seeing that shift up by six or seven minutes, and that's going to really help him be a 12-team league guy for, you know, potentially all of 2016. It's definitely something that I want to keep an eye on anyway, because he's got tremendous fantasy upside. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the New York Knicks. I was hoping so badly that Ricky Rubio gets a quadruple-double. He was so close. It would have been the first quadruple-double since David Robinson did it in 1994. In the end, he didn't even get a triple-double. 9 points, 1 3, but 10 rebounds, 12 assists, and 8 steals. Wow. He's a very underrated fantasy player to me. Everyone hates Ricky. That's not true. A lot of people hate Ricky Rubio. He's a really good point guard. He does things. He's a really good point guard at what he does. And that's fine, because he does what he needs to do. He's not Russell Westbrook. He's not Steph Curry. He's not Kemba Walker. He's a different point guard. He's a guy who gets you 10 assists and then plays amazing defense and gets steals and plays passing lanes and is a super aggressive rebounder. He's not a shooter. He's not a scorer. We know that. But he can hit open threes, which he did today. He's a good free throw shooter, and it fits certain fantasy teams very, very well. I've got him in a few leagues this year, in those leagues where I punt field goal percentage, and if I add in a secondary punt of punting points, he's been amazing. And showing up what he's done here. Now that he's finally getting healthy, well, not finally getting healthy, that he is healthy, 34 minutes for Rubio here. Big, big night. Now, the negatives. Sam Mitchell said that he was considering tweaking the lineup. And I got all excited on yesterday's podcast. I don't know if you heard it. You might have listened. You might not have. I thought, yes, this means more Gorgie Dieng. This means we're going to get Zach LaVine starting. It didn't quite work that way. We had Tayshaun Prince move into the starting lineup. Just what we need. A 700-year-old pharaoh back into the starting lineup that is producing a PER this season of 7.6. No, sorry, that's false. Let's try that again. A PER of less than 5, and a usage rate of less than 7.6. That is phenomenally low. So basically, yes, he's out there, and he doesn't take shots away from the players, but he is a literal zero on offense. He is a zero. And to me, I don't I don't see the need for it. Yes, he can be good defensively, but when you're that bad offensively and you don't provide anything offensively at all, what's the point? You can defend all day and you can restrict the other team to zero, but if you don't score, what's the point? You need to score as well. So it doesn't make sense. Give more minutes to Shabazz Muhammad. Let him develop. Interesting to see what happens in the next game, because the Wolves were without Kevin Garnett, who was resting, and Kevin Martin had the issue with his wrist, and that I don't think that precipitated the Prince move. That was probably going to happen anyway, but it enabled some of these other guys to get more minutes. So if Martin's back, does Tayshaun Prince drop from 21 minutes down, or does Zach LaVine lose his 29 minutes and move down to 25? Does Shabazz Muhammad move down from 18 to 15 so we can accommodate Tayshaun Prince's 21? Or does Prince playing 21 just because Martin was out and he could start and play 9 minutes or something like that, and Martin gets the other 15 and LaVine stays how it is? That's what we hope, but it's Sam Mitchell, so he's pretty Byron Scottish at this stage. LaVine scored the ball well, 19 points with a 3, 2 rebounds and 2 assists, so not a great peripheral night from him, but he has to be owned everywhere. And with Kevin Garnett out, who knew that Gorgie Jeng could play next to Karl Anthony Towns and they both could be good? Massive shock. Huge. Breaking news. Gorgie Jeng played 36 minutes, went 14 and 10 with a steal and a block. Newsflash, Sam Mitchell. Just play them together all the time. Play them together. Garnett can go out there and start 13 minutes. You know who should play the other... Let me add this up quickly in my head. You know who should play the other 35 minutes at power forward? Gorgie Jeng. Very straightforward. Very. They played 21 minutes together tonight, Townsend and Jeng, and they both produced. Jeng had 14 and 10 with a steal and a block. He has to be owned, even though Mitchell was probably going to demote him and then restrict his minutes, but surely all the common sense and evidence is heading the way that Jeng has to play. He has to play these minutes. Karl Anthony Towns went 25 and 10. He hit 2 triples, no other defensive numbers, but that's still really good. And Andrew Wiggins, at least he got 5 rebounds today, Wiggins. He had a steal and a block and had 23 points, but only shot 8 of 22 from the field. So continues to be that 20-point scorer with not much else. Let's keep our fingers crossed that common sense prevails. And I said this today on Twitter. I was having a discussion with, I think it was with Zach Bennett, who's a host of a Timberwolves podcast. I was saying this is dumb to put Prince into the starting lineup. He said, well, the number one defensive 5-man combo in the league has got Tayshaun Prince in it. And that's understandable. I was aware of that, and I knew that his defensive abilities were fantastic. But the fact that he provides 0 on offense is a concern to me. But my main point is, it doesn't matter who starts. It matters that your best 5 players get the 5 most amount of minutes. And that's exactly what happened here. Rubio, Jeng, Towns, Wiggins, LaVine, top 5 in minutes. Perfect, exactly the way it should be. I just worry that Martin coming back and Garnett coming back, does it reduce those two things? Does it reduce those things from happening? I'm a little bit skeptical about Sam Mitchell doing the right thing. Shabazz Muhammad, 8 and 9 in his 18 minutes. Also elbowed Saša Vujačić in the head. I don't think it was as egregious as what other people made out to be. It didn't look like it was all that hard. I was expecting him to just go through, and for you AFL fans, Australian football fans, I was expecting when I watched the incident to see like a plug a locket running back on Peter Craven incident. I thought, okay, he's destroyed him. He's caved his face in. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just YouTube Tony Lockett Peter Craven and you'll see exactly what I mean. That's what I was anticipating. Wasn't anything like that. He didn't get ejected even after a lengthy review. Don't imagine a suspension's coming. But 9 rebounds in 18 minutes is pretty good. He's still a monster on the offensive glass. He's a pretty decent scorer. I'd like him to get some of these Tayshaun Prince minutes as well. Another news flash. If you're holding on to Nemanja Bjelica, don't. 10 minutes for him, 2 points, not much else. He has been... Is he the same player? Is it the same guy? Because since he came back from that injury, he has just been putrid. Now, I was very... Not anti. I didn't grab him anywhere. I was not keen on him being an ad because so much of his stuff was unsustainable. And he's just looked worse than even I anticipated he could look at this point. I don't know what is going on with him. I think that's probably enough Timberwolves talk. We just don't know what Mitchell is going to do. Play your best 5 players, the 5 most amount of minutes. Don't care who starts. make sure they finish the game, and make sure they play the majority of the time on the court. Pretty straightforward formula for me. On to the Knicks. We almost had a triple-double from Carmelo Anthony. It was almost a triple-double and a triple-one combo. 20-15-9 with a 3, a steal, and a block. He's been playing a lot better of late. What about Aaron Aflalo, my boy? 34 minutes for Aflalo, 29 points, 3 threes, but it was an Aflalo special. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks. And yes, he's going to get hot at times. Yes, he's going to have decent scoring games, but it doesn't get me excited. I don't go, yeah, let's go Aaron Aflalo. He's still a very last player on your 12-team roster. Not a top 100 guy, barely a top 150 guy, and he's more of a 14-team league guy for me. I can understand it, though. If you want some points and threes, that's fine. But when his shot doesn't fall, he'll be a 13-point guy, and that's below average, and then he does nothing else. Langston Galloway played 32 minutes off the bench, 12-3-6 with a triple-one, one of his better games, but he's a bit too streaky for me. Lance Thomas is remarkably consistent with what the playing time Derek Fisher's giving him. Derek Fisher must know something more than about Lance Thomas than what I do, but he has been, you know, relatively solid. He's getting basically minutes in the low 20s every game. In fact, his last 2 weeks, he's getting 24 minutes a game, 12 points, 1.5 threes, 3 rebounds and half a steal on 46% shooting. If you're in a 14-team league, you could do heaps worse than having Lance Thomas in your team. Heaps. He's got a massively consistent role, and you can't say that about any of these other guys. Kevin Serafin, Kylo Quinn, Robin Lopez, Derek Williams, Sasha Vucic. They don't have a consistent role. Lance Thomas does. What an odd sentence. Robin Lopez played 18 minutes. Of course he did. He had 5 fouls, so that limited his playing time. 6 points, 2 rebounds, and a block. But the Knicks are going to have to realize that their best lineup is Porzingis at center and Carmelo at the 4. They have to realize that. And that's going to limit Lopez's playing time to being basically Porzingis' backup. So I don't like Robin Lopez as a 12-team league guy. Just don't like it. The next game, the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets. Dwayne Wade, 28 points on really efficient shooting, 13 of 17. Had 5 rebounds and 3 blocks as well. And Hassan Whiteside shook off some of his recent struggles, 20 and 13 in 30 minutes, which is a key for him. He had a block as well on 7 of 10 shooting and actually went 6 of 8 from the free throw line. So a good night from Hassan. Justice Winslow showed us something. That's better than nothing he's been showing us. 33 minutes off the bench, 3 triples for 11 points and 8 rebounds. But he also didn't miss from 3, and he was 4 of 5 from the field. He missed 1 shot for the game. How often is that going to happen? I'm going to venture and say never. Never again. Goran Dragic, 16-3-5 in 36 minutes, 2 steals and a block. He's not good yet, but he's been a lot better than what we've seen recently. Tyler Johnson returned from that sore shoulder, played just 5 minutes, clearly wasn't right. So Gerald Green got another 21 here, 13 points and 2 assists. And Luol Deng, back to what we expected from Luol Deng. After sort of a breakout couple of games, he played 36 minutes. So that's a lot of minutes. 5 points, 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Not really a 12-team league performance, while Chris Bosh had one of his worst games in recent times. 7-7 with not a lot of other peripherals. That's to really go on about. Shane Larkin is now out indefinitely with a concussion. But remember, indefinitely just means we don't know. It doesn't mean 2 months. It doesn't mean 3 weeks. It doesn't mean the season. It just means we got no idea. It's a concussion. We just don't know what's going to happen. We just have to keep monitoring the situation. In a 12-team league, you added him with hope, and because he's putting up that sort of top 100 value just. But now, if there's someone else you want and you need to maximize some games played, he's not a must-hold guy. Jarrett Jack had 22, 2, and 10 with 2 steals. So he had a big game in Larkin's absence, and he'll continue to have to play 35 minutes without Larkin out there because the other options, Donald Sloan and Markel Brown, just they don't really do it for me. I'm sure they don't do it for Lionel Hollins either. Brook Lopez went 25-6 in his 28 minutes. No other numbers there for him. And Wayne Ellington got extra run with Larkin out. He played 27 minutes and had 12 points and 3 steals, but that is still only a deep league option. While Bojan Bogdanovic played 40 minutes. Didn't do much, though. 8 points, 2 threes, and 5 rebounds. Still an okay 12-team league sort of player. Joe Johnson is just struggling massively at the moment. 5 points is terrible. 1 3, 2 rebounds. 4 assists is alright though, and is that something he's doing this year? Is he still giving you 4 assists a game, only shooting 36% of the season? I said earlier in the season I didn't think that he was going to continue to be this 35% shooter. Maybe he is. He seems to be getting worse. If he gets it back to 41% or 40%, though, we're talking about a 13-point scorer with 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a 3 and a steal, and they're still okay numbers. So it's not the wrong thing to hold on to him in 12-team leagues, but the shooting is just really depressing his value. If you're punting field goal percentage, his numbers go up, and he is able to help you because there's 4 assists from a shooting guard, and it can be invaluable. Pair it with a 3-4 rebounds and a steal, and there's still something there with Joe Johnson. Not the most exciting or sexiest of guys, though, no doubt. The next game, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Chicago Bulls. Zach Randolph played 30 minutes off the bench here, 10-11 with 5 assists, while Matt Barnes was reduced to just 22 minutes with some foul trouble for Barnes. 7 points, a steal and a block. If you own Barnes, I'm still holding him. If you dropped Randolph, I'm not scurrying back to go and pick him up, because even as a starter beforehand, I've mentioned this a few times as well, he was giving you nothing apart from rebounds, like positives in no other areas. And then if his minutes go back to 25 or 26, which they probably will, it's not worth doing. I can understand the appeal of Z-Bo. Yeah, he's a double-double. And if your league counts double-doubles, there's a little bit more to be excited about if we knew he was getting 30 minutes a night. But if he's going to get 26 and get 6 or 7 rebounds, not enough. Not enough there. Very Jeff Green performance here. 11 points, a triple-one, 1 rebound and 2 assists on 4 of 12 shooting. So that's pretty standard for him. He still has that back-end 12-team league value, while Mike Conley could not get anything to go. 3 of 14 for 8 points. A triple-one, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. Marc Gasol, 8-7-7, not his best night. On to the Bulls. Oh, Nikola Mirotic. 15 minutes for Mirotic. 3 points from a 3, which is good. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. So the numbers are still impressive. He just can't get playing time. And it's pissing me off no end. I don't want to see Taj Gibson out there 19 minutes. I want Mirotic out there. But I can understand in a 10-team league, it's really tough to own Mirotic at the moment. He can't even sniff 20 minutes at the moment. And in a 10-team league, you probably need to move on. In a 12-team league, I can understand holding. I can also understand dropping, depending on who you're going to add. Because it's going to take a trade to thin out the ranks here. Get rid of Noah or Gibson or Gasol or whoever they're going to move on from. Someone needs to be moved out of this front court so that the minutes can go up for these guys. So in a 12-team league, if you're struggling, if you're in the bottom half of the standings, it is not great to hold on to Mirotic at this point. Maybe try and trade him to one of the top teams and get something back, or you might just have to drop him outright. The frustration is it's wearing on me as well. Derek Rose, 19-2-5, so a good scoring night for him. 1 of 3 from the free throw line doesn't really cut it for you, but otherwise not a bad night from Derek Rose. And Tony Snell goes back to being Tony Snell after playing the Sixers. 22 minutes for him, 2 points and 6 rebounds. Well, Doug McDermott is he's showing he belongs in the NBA. 17 points with 4 triples. He just doesn't do anything else. He's a points guy. He's a threes guy. He does nothing else. Yeah, he's shooting 45% from 3, which is phenomenal. But it's only for deeper leagues. In 22 minutes a game, he's giving you 1.6 threes. That's his only real positive value aside from his free throws. And the field goal percentage is nice for a three-point shooter. The three-point percentage is out of control if you're counting that in your league. But he just does nothing in the other areas. 0.7 assists, 2.3 rebounds, 0.1 steals, and 0.1 blocks. They're not good numbers. I really like Doug McDermott. I wish he would play more minutes than what he currently is. But the defense is an issue, and he just doesn't contribute in other areas. Pau Gasol went 10-14 with a couple of blocks, while Jimmy Butler went 24-4-4 with a triple-one. Big night from Jimmy. Joakim Noah, after a couple of big performances, struggled. He played 29 minutes, 3-6-5. So the minutes are definitely up for Noah. So he can be owned in certain 12-team league formats. You need to be able to deal with his inefficiency and his lack of points. The rebounds and the blocks and the out-of-position assists is where his bread is buttered, but it's not going to be for everyone. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks. Let's check in on the point guard situation in Philadelphia, because we had all 4 of these guys playing. Isaiah Cannon played 31 minutes. He had 24 points with 6 threes and not much else. He remains a three-point guy, a back-end 12-team league guy, maybe. TJ McConnell played 17 minutes and went 5-2-4. Kendall Marshall started and played 15 minutes and went 7 points and 4 assists. And my boy Tony Roden played 16 minutes. He had 12 points. He had 1 3, 2 rebounds, nothing else, 4 of 10 and 3 of 5 from the free throw line, including a team-high 4 turnovers. You can't own Roten in 12-team leagues. You can't own McConnell, and you can't own Marshall. Now, Marshall will be the guy at some point, but the guy might mean 24 minutes. It's just not going to happen until we get someone cut or moved on from. I can't see any of these guys just going, I'm playing 30 minutes and Marshall's going to be a 14 and 8 sort of guy. I just don't really see that happening at all, so I'm not stashing and hoping for the best. Bob Cove went 10-4-4 with a couple of steals. Rishaun Holmes had a really big night with Nerlens Noel out. He played 27 minutes off the bench, 12-7, a steal, 2 blocks and a 3. And he's a guy that myself and Mark Roberts have talked about a lot, that he's got really intriguing fantasy potential in his ability to do things on a per possession or per minute basis. He just needed the opportunity to open up. So with Noel out, he's getting bench minutes. Doesn't mean we're going and adding him anywhere, but deeper league guys will want to have just a bit of a peek at him and see exactly what happens if Grant happens to go out long-term or Noel happens to go out long-term. Deeper leagues will want to get themselves a piece of Rishaun Holmes. When Noel comes back, which is likely going to be the next game, then Jeremy Grant moves into Holmes' role and Holmes goes back to Christian Wood's role, which is not very big at all. Now, Jeremy Grant struggled here, 5 points in his 29 minutes. Nick Stauskas went scoreless in 13 minutes. And Jill Okafor went 19-7 in his 30 minutes. On the Atlanta side, a very comfortable victory. So the minutes are all spread out. No one got to 30 minutes here. So there's not really much to gain from investigating this in too much detail. Kent Bazemore, 8-7, a steal and 2 blocks. Paul Millsap had 21. Jeff T got back in business with a Richie Beno. And for those of you who don't know what a Richie Beno is, it's a triple one, but all with twos. So 2 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. 18 points for Teague with 4 assists as well. Dennis Schroeder chimed in with 17-7 with 3 steals off the bench as well. And that's 2 big games for Schroeder in a row, but there's extenuating circumstances as to why Schroeder got those big games. So I'm not looking at going and adding him in any sort of 12-team formats. Let's go on to the next game, which is the Portland Trailblazers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. CJ McCollum, 24-4-4 with 4 triples, while Damian Lillard went 20-5 with 4 triples. Now, Lillard did have an issue with his ankle, so we've got to check on his status moving forward. He is still yet to miss an NBA game, so you'd think he'd want to keep playing, but these sort of things can blow up, obviously. Mason Plumlee hit all 6 of his free throws, which is a huge bonus, 14-10 with 3 assists. You don't like the 4 of 14 shooting and all the 5 turnovers, but he's been a guy that has to be owned in 12-team leagues, in my opinion. This game, the Thunder had this one pretty much in control. The minutes were spread out all over the place. Al-Farouq Aminu played just 21. Noah Vonleh got 26. Yuck. Alan Crabb played 16 minutes. Myers Leonard got himself back up to 26 minutes. And it's always, you always look for the indicator players, the white flag guys. Tim Frazier played 11 minutes and Pat Connaughton played 4 minutes. Game was out of hand. Not much to really look at here. A stinker from Aminu. Leonard got some more minutes, but didn't do too much with him. Plumlee was good. Lillard and McCollum carried the team. On to the Thunder. Kevin Durant, 24-7-4. Russell Westbrook, 13-3-5 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. So solid games for those guys, but they didn't need to do much because the game was pretty much in control from the word go. Steven Adams started off with, 9 points and 6 boards, I think it was, in about the first 5 minutes. Ended with 11-11 in his 22 minutes, so a nice performance from him. And Enes Kanter, the Enes Kanter special, 12-13 with no other stats in 25 minutes, actually. And we know exactly who he is at this point. Borderline 12-team league guy, if you've got certain needs in the categories he provides, and that's basically percentages and rebounds. Dion Waiters chimed in with 18-6 off the bench in 28 minutes. 6 of 10 shooting is not something we're going to see from Dion Waiters all that often, so I don't buy this sort of production as a commonplace thing. I actually streamed him in today in the Red Rock Listener League Stacey Augman division, so I was very happy with that stream, but that's where he is. Hey, I need some points and maybe some threes. I'm going to throw Waiters in for a day. He's going to be on his ass in a couple of days' time, if not today, because I'm just not seeing the point in holding on. But he can have some nights where he can put up some decent numbers, but he's never going to be a real must-own sort of player. The Washington Wizards and the San Antonio Spurs, look, just another spanking from the Spurs. They just do it pretty much every game, but at least the Wizards players were able to put up some fantasy value. Marcin Gortat went 20-10 with 3 blocks, a big night there. John Wall bounced back 25-11 with a 3 involved there, and we saw a change to the starting lineup with the Wizards. They moved Jared Dudley out of the starting lineup and put Chris Humphries back in. They moved Garrett Temple out of the starting lineup and put Gary Neal in. But with the game being a blowout, I don't know what we really gain from looking too deeply into this change. Look, the change will probably stick, but Chris Humphreys played 29 minutes. Gary Neal played 22. Is that what they'll run moving forward? It's hard to say. One thing I would say is that Jared Dudley now becomes a guy that if you did pick him up, you can consider dropping, because he wasn't a high upside sort of guy. He was just feeling a need while he was playing 30 minutes, and if he's not going to happen, we can move on. But Otto Porter suffered an injury in this game. He has a thigh bruise. He lasted just 23 minutes and had 2 points and 3 steals in that time. So if he has to miss time, then we're going to see maybe some more Dudley there, but we're most likely going to see some more Kelly Oubre, who played 25 minutes here in place of Porter, 18 points with 2 threes. He took 15 shots. He hit 6 of them. He hit all 4 of his free throws, but I'm not going, I need to go and add Kelly Oubre in 12-team leagues. He had 16-team leagues. You can go and add him for some short-term action, but then he'll likely go back to, say, an 8-minute role in the next game or two. As for that Gary Neal, Garrett Temple, Ramon Sessions triumvirate, Sessions had 10 points and 4 assists. He's still a decent add for assists in a 12-team league, but Neal and Temple I don't think I'd really want to bother with in that sort of shallow format while Beal is out. Onto the Spurs, Kawhi played 38 minutes here, 27, 3, and 4 with 4 threes and 4 steals, so a big game from him. Manu had 8 assists. Tony Parker went 10, 4, and 10, and these guys just continued to surprise, really. I don't think anyone thought that Manu would still be doing this. And Tony Parker, he looked toast in the summer. He is putting up some really good numbers, and he has to be owned in 12-team leagues. Tim Duncan sat this one out. So David West got the start, had 10 boards and 9 points in 25 minutes. A steal and a couple of blocks, but we know that he just becomes a streaming option. And LaMarcus Aldridge, 14 and 6, he is just not living up to anyone who picked him in the top 20. I do feel sorry for you, because he's clearly not the same guy as in Portland, and that's scheme-based, clearly. Danny Green played 19 minutes. Yeah. 7 and 4 with a block and a 3. You've probably moved on from Danny Green already, and this sort of should seal it. You can move on, even though the upside is extremely tantalizing. It's just not being realized. Boban Marjanovic played 15 minutes, 7 and 6 with 2 blocks. This guy is heading into permanent stud territory. And I know that's a big, big call, but whenever he's able to get minutes, his numbers are crazy. He just puts up like just insane sort of numbers. His per 36 numbers for the season, it's only in 6 minutes a game, but 23 and 13 with a steal and 1.5 blocks. Like, what? Really? He went down to the D-League for a game, and he just destroyed whoever he played down there. But the minutes, it's going to take a lot for him to get 30 or 25 minutes here. Duncan's going to have to miss, Aldridge will miss, West and DL will probably have to miss as well. Deeper league guys, we're talking very deep, 300-player rostered leagues, he's one of the better per-minute producers at that end point who might be available in a 300-man league. Just someone to keep an eye on that maybe not everyone is quite aware of. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Utah Jazz. Omer Asik, yes, back in the starting lineup. My boy, Omer. 20 minutes for him, 2 points. Yep. Don't know why he moved back in the starting lineup. Alexei Ajinsa went back to 4 minutes, so that experiment lasted very, very long. Alvin Gentry, they got the victory. I just don't think he's a good coach. Ryan Anderson, 24 and 4 with a 3 in 34 minutes. A good night from him. And Drew Holiday played just 24 here, but still, he's just stuffing the stat sheet basically every night at the moment. 15, 3 and 4, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. And Eric Gordon actually got hot here as well, 19 points with 4 triples. Quiet one from Davis, 17 and 13. And Tyreke Evans was a bit quiet as well, 11, 4 and 5. Norris Cole watch, 43% shooting for 7 points in 18 minutes. Why is Ish Smith getting 2 minutes and this idiot is getting 18 minutes? I don't understand. Let Ish Smith run the backup unit. Let Ish Smith do whatever. I don't understand the way that Gentry is running this. Why is Norris Cole getting any playing time at all? Let's get Drew Holiday back to 30 minutes again. That's definitely what we need to see happen. On to the Jazz. Another change to their starting lineup. Hal Neto moved back to the bench. Trey Lyles moved back to the bench. And Jeff Withey entered the starting lineup as the starting center. And they went with the three-wing lineup of Alec Burks, Who are the other guys? Rodney Hood and Gordon Hayward. That's the other guys. That's who they went with in the starting lineup. Favors went 22-7-5 with a steal and a block. And again, the starters, it doesn't really matter because give your best lineup or your best players the more minutes. So you can start Withy and you can play him 17 minutes, but Trevor Booker still got 29. He went 9-3 with two steals and a block. And I'm not saying that Booker's a good player, but he should be getting more minutes than Jeff Withy and Trey Lyles, which he did, and that's fine. Gordon Hayward played 40 minutes, went 20-6 with three threes. Rodney Hood had left the game with a knee contusion. Thankfully, it's not serious. He did return. 21 minutes for him, 9 points. Alec Burks went 8-5, and Trey Burke, with Hood missing some time, he played 28 minutes for 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. On his usual pretty poor shooting, he is not a must-own 12-team league guy. Not a good night from Burks, as I mentioned before, just a 2 of 10 shooting for him. Last couple of games, the Milwaukee Bucks. Jason Kidd. So we heard there's going to be a change to the starting lineup, was what we heard first. We're going to hit Michael Carter-Williams and Miles Plumlee are going to start. You go, okay, Carter-Williams, back, ready to go. Back in their starting lineup. OJ Mayo, you've been good. You'll move to the bench. Jason Kidd, you clearly hate John Henson. We know that. Let's put in Miles Plumlee, who is just garbage. Whatever. We know that Kidd hates Henson at this point. But no, Carter-Williams, you're not coming into the lineup to replace Mayo. You're replacing Giannis Antetokounmpo. What the hell's going on? I don't get it. Now, back to my earlier conversation, is it doesn't matter necessarily who starts as long as they play minutes. And Antetokounmpo still played 34 minutes, so I'm okay with that. It's just a weird one. And Kidd does weird shit all the time, so he doesn't get a pass. But I'm okay with Antetokounmpo playing 34 minutes. Carter Williams went 17-6-5 in 39 minutes. OJ Mayo played 38 minutes and went 17-4-6 with 3 threes and 3 steals. These are all really good signs. Mayo still has to be owned. Carter Williams, clearly. Antetokounmpo playing 34 off the bench is fine with me. Still don't understand the John Henson-Miles Plumlee situation. Henson played 21 minutes, went 10-8 with 3 blocks. Plumlee went 2-3 in his 22 minutes. An extra minute and about 5 times less production. Never going to make sense to me, the John Henson hatred. Never. He had no fouls as well in 21 minutes. No fouls. Chris Middleton, 15-5-6 with a 1-1, so another nice night from him. He's getting just massive minutes at the moment and producing pretty good numbers after a really slow start to the season. Jabari Parker played 25 minutes and had 14 points with a steal and a block. Not a bad night from Jabari, but let's just wait and see what Kidd is going to do. There's going to be more Kidd tomfoolery moving forward. Antetokounmpo missed a game last year as a punishment for something that we still have no idea what. Was this a punishment move? Was it a change to try and get something happening? Who knows? As long as he still gets 34 minutes, if it's on the bench or in the starting lineup, it in the end, it doesn't matter. Onto the Clippers, Chris Paul went 21-6-8. Blake Griffin went 15-8-5. And DeAndre Jordan had 9-8 with 2 blocks before he got ejected for getting 2 technicals in his 18 minutes. JJ Redick had 19 points. And that's where it stops for the Clippers. Josh Smith had 13 points in 18 minutes with 2 steals, but please do not get excited about that. And there's just literally nothing else to really talk about on this team. The bench is trash. It's garbage. Jamal Crawford had 2 points in 21 minutes. He doesn't deserve to be owned unless an injury happens to Paul or to JJ Redick. And Wes Johnson went scoreless in his 13 minutes. The last game of the night was the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. Mirza Teletovic got red hot for the Suns. 24 minutes for him, 24 points, including 3 threes. He's a scoring guy, he's a points guy, and he can be streamed while he's hot, definitely, and while Markieff is not playing. And TJ Warren had one of his best games for the year. 19-8 in 36 minutes, a steal, 2 blocks. We know that he can be a really attractive fantasy player, but the minutes just have not been there for him at all. So I don't know what to make of that. Now, this game was a blowout, so bench guys got extended run. We saw the Phoenix white flag, Archie Goodwin played 12 minutes, and Sonny Williams played 6 minutes. We also saw starter John Lua play 14 minutes. Don't really understand that one. We saw Tyson Chandler play 20 as the starter, replacing Alex Len, and then play less minutes than Len, who played 22. And they put up basically the same stat line. 6-5 for Chandler with a steal. Len went 6-5 with a steal and a block. Pretty much the same sort of numbers. The fact that they're splitting minutes means it's going to be real hard to own Len and Chandler in, in 10-team leagues, definitely, and in 12-team leagues. I reckon you can do better than both of those guys at this point. And if you own Lua, don't panic about this one game of 14 minutes. Wait for it to happen a couple in a row when they're not getting beaten by 50 points. Brandon Knight went 17-1-2, and Eric Bledsoe 6-5-8 with two steals. On to the Warriors. Steph Curry, 25 points, 7 assists, and 2 threes with a steal. And Draymond Green got his fourth triple-double of the season, 16-11-10, 2 threes, 5 steals, and a block. He has just been fantastic this year. He's a certain all-star. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Brandon Rush played 30 minutes because it was a blowout, 11 points for him. And not much else to really talk about for the Warriors. Festus Ezeli played 15 minutes. Andrew Bogut played 21. Bogut went scoreless, did not take a shot, but had 12 boards, a steal, and a block. But if you own Andrew Bogut, you're not owning him for his 6 points or 7 points. You're owning him for blocks and rebounds and assist numbers out of a center. And you got a 3 here. Don't think he's a must-hold, though, in 12-team leagues. All right, we are done for the recap of Wednesday's action. Going to be a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk about all the games, all 3 of them, for Thursday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away, 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 away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street, and I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart break so, so long ago. And don't go, please take my hand. I'll take you to the place that we both met so long ago. All right, guys, we are back. And before we get into the daily fantasy action, I want to bring to you a message from today's sponsor of the podcast, and that is No Halftime. No Halftime is an app on your iOS device. Go and download it. Pretty straightforward. Download the app. Use the promo code DUNK, D-U-N-K, DUNK, which you can see on the screen if you're watching the video here. Use that promo code, $25 free. They're giving you $25. You can go on there, challenge someone, accept a challenge, and win some money. If you don't know what No Halftime is, basically it's one-on-one daily fantasy. It is one player, you pick one player versus your opponent's one player who has the most fantasy points at the end of the night, and the winner wins, the loser loses. It doesn't get much straightforward than that. You can make these challenges easily, individual challenges. You can use Kristaps Porzingis against Karl-Anthony Towns, which we saw in real life today. LeBron versus Melo, Harden versus Steph, Tony Roten versus Lance Stevenson. Whatever you want to do, you can make these challenges, and they're very straightforward. They're so easy, it takes seconds, and accepting them is even easier. It pops up on your screen, there's a tick on a cross. Yeah, I'll take that one. No, I won't take that one. How much easier can you get? There can be private challenges, public challenges. You can do other sports, let's try that again. Other sports aside from the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball, lots of other stuff on No Halftime. Join today, get started. It's real money, and fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit nohalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone. Receive that bonus by entering the promo code DUNK at sign up. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. Make sure you do go and check out No Halftime. Seriously, it's 25 free bucks. Just go on there, use the promo code, get your 25 bucks, place a few contests, get in there, win some money, do whatever you want from it. It's not hard to do. There's you can make yourself some pretty decent money on there. I'm fairly confident for you guys who are listening to this podcast, you know what fantasy basketball is about. You can make some money on No Halftime. All right, let's now look at these three games. The first one is the Toronto Raptors and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 1.5. The total is 196. We have to check Nick Batum with his illness and PJ Hairston with his foot problem to make sure that they are playing. If they are out, Jeremy Lin and Jeremy Lamb get big, big boosts. 4,400 for Jeremy Lamb, though, even so, is not a terrible price. He had a big 34 today, and if Batum misses, he's almost a must-play guy. But he's not a terrible tournament sort of option. As for the Charlotte big men, Frank Kaminsky's been averaging 19.3 points. He's at 3,800. He's a tournament guy only, but it's not a terrible guy to use. Cody Zeller at 3,900 is also a pretty solid player to use. Both of those guys are hard to use in cash games, but in cash games, if they give you 20 points, they've exceeded value. That's 5x value if they give you 20 points. And can they do it? That's not going to happen all that often, but they've definitely got that potential in them. Probably more cash game options, but they're both there. Marvin Williams at 4,800, I don't love it. He's averaging only 16 points across his last three. He needs to do more than that at 4,800. I think the value lies in the front court of the Raptors. Luis Scola at 4,500. He's averaging almost 23 across the last three. Yes, he can have some duds, but I like him to be able to put up some numbers here. I like Bismack Biyombo at 4,000 as well. There is always a risk of Noguera taking some of his minutes, but at 4,000, again, if he gives you 20 points, which he can get 3 blocks and have 10 rebounds, and you're almost there already, I don't hate that move. And Terrence Ross is more of a tournament option. He's priced at basically minimum salary there. He put up 20.3 points in the last game. He has had a 33-point game with Damari Carroll out, so you know that there is upside there. It just doesn't happen all that often for him. The other guy you can throw in a tournament as well is Patrick Patterson at 3,600. He is averaging 14 points as well in his last three games. Not much else that really stands out here. Go to the big boys from Toronto. Kyle Lowry at 8,900. It's a relatively appealing matchup, but he's only giving you 28.9 fantasy points in his last three. He needs to be better than that at 9,000. DeMar DeRozan has been better, and I don't mind using DeRozan. He's at almost 37 points in his last three. At 7,700, I can sort of look into getting that, especially if Batum or Hairston is out. Both those guys are relatively good perimeter defenders. We might see some more DeRozan action. Kemba Walker, not a great spot for him, I don't think, at almost $8,000. He's coming off a pretty poor game against the team that had completely slipped my mind. He wasn't great in that game. But I think that he can be better here. So he's not a must stay away from player. But at 7,900, you want him to drop 40. And I'm not really sure that he's got that in him. Batum, if he does play, I'm still steering clear because the illness can still take 2 or 3 minutes off their playing time. And that's going to be a killer in a daily fantasy situation, especially with only 3 games on. You've got to make sure you're nailing your picks. The next one is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers. There was reports out that Kyrie was going to play in this game. Kyrie then came out himself and said, no, I'm not playing, so no Kyrie. Iman Shumpert is out with that groin issue. So more minutes open up for J.R. Smith at 5,100. He's been really quiet, but the situation looks appealing for him. Big game, national TV against the Thunder. I don't mind getting J.R. Smith involved. Russ Westbrook at 10,800, I reckon, is a pretty solid guy to look at. He's averaging 42 across the last three. He was quiet today because he didn't need to be. He didn't need big minutes and didn't need big action. I don't think that's going to be the case against Cleveland, so he could be in for a big game. Kevin Durant at 10,300, averaging 40.8. Yeah, you know what? If I'm spending 10,300, I'm probably taking LeBron. LeBron's been averaging more points than Durant. He's been really consistent. You could go either way. Look, you can honestly go either way. I would probably take LeBron, but I can understand going Durant, especially without Kyrie. I think that LeBron just gets that little extra edge. Kevin Love at 8,200. He's averaging 37.8. This is not a overly difficult matchup for him. Serge Ibaka, yes, he can be a good defender, but Love, we know what Love can do. He can stretch the floor, and that is going to limit Ibaka's ability to block his shot, so I don't mind using Love here at 8,200. And Ibaka's not terrible as an option either. 6,200, he needs to get to 30 fantasy points, which he can do, but he's more of a 25 to 26 sort of guy. And Dion Waiters is mildly intriguing. 4,300 is not an expensive salary. He put up 25.7 today, but it's a different situation going up against the Cavs. Not risking him for cash games, clearly. And to be honest, just this overall slate, there's not many really set guys. You really want to be looking at some of these stud guys like James and Westbrook and Durant, Love, and try and fit some other low salary players in. So another low salary guy you can look at, Steven Adams at 4,100. He was pretty good today, put up 25 points. He might be able to replicate that. Dellavedova at 4,200. He's going to get the run without Kyrie playing and without Shumpert playing. So he's going to get some extra run there. Look for him to get close to 30 minutes. That might mean 20 points, and that might be enough. Mo Williams has been trending down with even with the injuries, so I'm probably going to be avoiding him. Timofey Mozgov becomes mildly interesting. 3,800, he put up 27 in the last game, which is obviously probably his best performance for the season. But he's been bad in a lot of games as well. Still only a tournament play to me. The next game is where majority of the fantasy value is going to be had, and that is the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Dwight returns back to LA. The Rockets are favored by 6. The total is 212.5 points. Pat Beverly at 4,200 just reeks of value there. 25 points and you're done. If he gives you that, you're very, very happy against the Lakers backcourt, which has not been good at reducing points. Kobe Bryant is averaging 35 in his last three. Yes, he can have some bad games, but I imagine that he's going to want to put up a pretty nice performance here. 6,800, he's looked a lot better recently. I'm okay with using Kobe, definitely, and it is against a James Harden-led Houston defense. 5,200 for Lou Williams. He's pretty rock solid. He's probably not going to get you 30 points, but 27 points is not a bad spot to look at. And Dwight Howard at 7,400. He should get back to his 34 minutes after that being limited in the second half of a back-to-back. Not a difficult matchup. I imagine that he is going to be looking for a pretty good game here. I'm okay with using Dwight. In a tournament, Larry Nance at 3,500 is someone to have a look at. Now, he's not a great play. He hasn't really put any of the runs on the board just yet. But when you're going up against the Houston front court, when you're a starter who could get 25 minutes, there's a potential for him to put up 20 fantasy points. He could put up 25 fantasy points. He could go out there and grab 8 rebounds and have 3 blocks and have 8 points and really return value on minimum salary. There's no way you want him in a cash game, but in a tournament, there's something that can be said for that. Julius Randle at 6,000, even coming off the bench, he's been putting up some decent numbers. I'm okay with that, but there's obviously risk associated there. James Harden at 10,800 is one of the better plays on the board. And Trevor Ariza at 5,600, that's not that expensive for Trevor Ariza. We know that he's got 30 point upside pretty comfortably, so I'm okay with using him. D'Angelo Russell back off the bench, but at 5,700, he put up 39 in the last game. He's definitely trending up. He's one of the must-play guys to me. I don't think there's many other point guards that have his sort of upside at that sort of low salary. So I don't mind getting D'Angelo Russell out there. Jordan Clarkson, you're spending basically the same price as D'Angelo Russell. Russell has clearly been outperforming him lately. Clarkson still has the ability here to put up a nice line, but if I'm picking between the two, I would probably pick D'Angelo Russell, although Clarkson still is relatively appealing to me. Not much else I don't think to really talk about in this game. Well, let's talk at the front court. Clint Capella, Donatas Motiejunas, Terrence Jones. Now, who knows what's going to happen? One thing I can be relatively confident about is that Terrence Jones is probably going to get the least minutes out of those two. Capella will probably get the most, and Motiejunas will push for 20 minutes. But it's in such a confusing situation that we just don't know how the minutes are going to play out, and therefore those guys have no business being in any sort of cash game lineups. All right, I reckon we are pretty much done with today's podcast. Let's bring up the daily fantasy plays for tomorrow. At point guard, we've got Patrick Beverley at 4,200. I've got Jordan Clarkson there at 5,600, but D'Angelo Russell, you can also sub in at 5,700. Both those guys make nice matchups against the Rockets, and Russ Westbrook at 10,800. Shooting guards, we've got Terrence Ross at 3,600, Kobe Bryant at 6,800, and James Harden at 10,800. With the small forwards, Richard Jefferson at 3,500. Without Shumpert playing, Jefferson could get 20 minutes, could get 22 minutes. Now, it is completely a tournament play, but he's had a few games with some decent production, and there's just really no other good cheap small forwards out there on the board. Trevor Ariza at 5,600 is a mid-price guy, and LeBron James at 10,300. For the power forwards, Luis Scola at 45, Julius Randle at 6,000 with a bit of shakiness there, and Kevin Love at 8,200. As for centres, Bismack Biyombo is 4,000, Dwight Howard is 7,400, and there is not one centre on the board that is priced over 7,500, so there is no high-priced centre in play for Thursday's action. Guys, we are done for today's podcast. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. The Basketballer Monster, the Basketball Monster Twitter account is BaskMonster. Follow that for all your up-to-the-minute lineup changes and DFS news. Leave a review on iTunes. Thank you to everyone who went and smashed iTunes yesterday. It's awesome. Go ahead and do it again today. Five people a day would be magnificent. I would really, really appreciate that. Subscribe also on YouTube. Twitter is redrock_bball. I reckon we're done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.